1640, a man by the name of Nicholas Hermann joined the Discalced Carmelite Priory in Paris. He was born into poverty, and before he joined the priory, he joined the army at a young age because it guaranteed him meals and a small stipend. And it was during the time that he spent in the army that he claimed to have an experience that set him on a unique spiritual journey. He states, or about this spiritual journey, it states, in the deep of winter, Hermann looked at a barren tree stripped of leaves and fruit, waiting silently and patiently for the sure hope of summer abundance. Gazing at the tree, Hermann grasped for the first time the extravagance of God's grace and the unfailing sovereignty of divine providence. Like the tree, he himself was seemingly dead, but God had life waiting for him, and the turn of the seasons would bring fullness. At that moment, he said, that lifeless tree first flashed in upon my soul the fact of God, and a love for God that never after ceased to burn. So in 1640, following this experience, along with an injury in the army, he joined the prior, and just 2 years after, made his solemn profession of vows and took the religious name Lawrence of the Resurrection. He spent the rest of his life in this community where his primary assignments were working in the kitchen, doing dishes, cooking, cleaning, a very lowly position within the priory. But Brother Lawrence couldn't have cared less. Whatever experience he had that caused this huge change for him to enter the priory, it shaped the rest of his life. And everything he did, he would focus on God, practice the presence of God. In washing dishes, he would offer up prayers. In cleaning or collecting the water, he would wonder how he could be more fruitful to God. He practiced the holiness in the daily tasks of life. In his own words, Brother Lawrence shows how we can do little things for God. He says, I turn the cake in its frying that is frying on the pan for love of him. And that done, if there is nothing else to call me, I prostrate myself in worship before him who has given me grace to work. Afterwards, I rise happier than a king. It is enough for me to pick up but a straw from the ground for the love of God. But that is true. He spent the better part of 50 years in the priory, aligning his heart to God. And this wasn't always an easy task. It was something that Brother Lawrence struggled with, but he kept after, desiring this deep relationship with God and thankful for God's deep desire for a deep relationship with him. That's the truth. God desires this deep relationship, not just with Brother Lawrence, but with all of us. Since creation, God has called us into community, and not just with each other, but with our great Creator. And as we saw last week, the prologue, the opening of the Ten Commandments, God defines this relationship that is desired. God names it, and then in a healthy manner, puts some boundaries and some expectations on it, which the first four commandments show just how we are to be in relationship with the Lord our God, how perhaps, like Brother Lawrence, they help us to lean into God more and more every day. They help us align our heart to God to be in this deep relationship. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol, whether in the form of anything that is in heaven above or on the earth below or that is in the water under the earth. Shall not bow down to them or worship them. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Martin Luther once argued that if our heart is aligned to God and we trust solely in God, clinging to God, when we are in trouble, then we won't put any other gods before the Lord our God. We won't make any idols or images or make wrongful use of the name of the Lord. And in all of this, in aligning our heart, clinging to God, We will keep the rhythm of the Sabbath, remembering it, keeping it holy, honoring God on that day. But if our heart isn't aligned to God, then when trouble comes, our heart will cling to something else, be it other gods or idols, be it making wrongful use of the name of the Lord. By using and abusing the Sabbath day and not keeping it holy, Martin Luther argued, it is all a matter of the heart. And he's right, our allegiance will always be to what our heart is aligned to. Brother Lawrence is a perfect example of this, of how he wrestled with this in his daily life, aligning his heart to God daily, and when it strayed, recognizing it and turning back. Perhaps remembering the commandments of the Lord daily. Perhaps it was something that was much easier to do in the rhythm of everyday life in a 17th century prior than today. It can be especially hard today when we so often forget that these commandments are relational, that they are to bring us into the heart of God, align our hearts with God's. On top of this, we often just take them at face value rather than going deeper, diving into the deepness of each one, and thus not really understanding them or how they impact our lives when we just take them at face value. And in doing so, whether we realize it or not, we wind up putting other gods before the Lord our God. We make idols and images and worship them. We use the Lord's name in vain and we trample the Sabbath. When we put other gods before the Lord our God, it changes our whole behavior, where our heart is aligned, where we cling to. Like when we put perhaps our country first above our commitment to God, we wind up with hearts that are at times fearful or hate-filled or disgusted by those around us, by our neighbors, as we argue partisan issues instead of seeing across the divide. We are fearful of refugees and sojourners seeking asylum, that we allow children to be separated from their parents and kept in cages. We don't demand anything different, for our hearts are no longer aligned with God's. Instead, we've put the God of our country, politicians or political parties, policies or certain laws, or the me first mentality above and before our great God. At times, like the Israelites, we've demanded an idol, a golden calf, an image of our God, a savior president or a powerful Congress or a strong military. Or we've made a god of capitalism and economic growth. It is obvious in many ways that we have done this. For example, when we don't take regular Sabbaths and how we don't allow others to either, even the land. For not only do we continue to till it year after year, never giving it rest, but we also pump it dry, even to the point that when our oil reserves dry up, we find new ways to destroy creation around us to keep pumping, keep drilling, never giving rest, creating a system where the least of these are most affected by the damaging systems and never getting rest themselves. Or to go a different route in how we misuse the commandments, one of my seminary professors once argued that the third commandment, not using the name of the Lord in vain, challenges us to never use exclusively male or female pronouns, arguing that both can be cruel and harmful and damaging at times. But also, we are to never exclusively use non-gender pronouns, for when we do, we deny the transcendence and the personalness of God. But rather, we should be using a variety of terms and names to describe our great God: Mother, Father, Rock, Almighty, Redeemer, Author of Life, the Mighty One, the Consuming Fire, the Creator, Yahweh. When we limit our language of God, whether intentional or not, we at times limit the power of our God. We limit our God. At times, we wind up then using the name of the Lord in vain as we misuse God's name. For if we think about it, if we only ever use male pronouns, masculine language for God, that is how then we begin to envision God. We begin to put the Lord in a box. He, him, his, father. And you can limit seeing God at work in the world as mother, she, her, or in creation as a rock, as the eagle, as the consuming fire. It has the ability to make an image of God in our minds, in our churches, and in our world. That doesn't just limit God for us, but can hinder the reach of God to others, and even at times have damaging consequences. We are a little farther out removed from what is happening over in Ireland right now, but perhaps some of you have heard a little bit of what's going on with their General Assembly that just met. They voted not to recognize same-sex couples within the church, meaning that they're not allowed to become members and that their children cannot be baptized. And in doing so, they broke their relationship with the Scottish Presbyterian Church, a Presbyterian church in Scotland, loosening their church ties. And along with this came a radio interview with Reverend Mark Neely, of a part of the Ireland Presbyterian Church, where he was asked if the vote was a part of a shift in the church to a more conservative position, and if repealing the right of women to become ministers, something which has only been in place since the 70s, was something that was also being considered. Reverend Neely responded, "Well, from my perspective, I would be delighted in many respects if we went down that route." It's amazing the damage that is done when we put God in a box, using only certain language to describe God, or even getting on our moral high horses at times and making blanket statements of judgment against what is and what isn't of God, making an idol a false image of a true God, potentially stripping women's ordinations out of a false image of God, making God an idol of who we want God to be. Or perhaps, like our politicians this week, claiming separating children from their families is biblical, is in essence is the will of God. And by this, again, using the name of the Lord in vain, making a false image of a true God. And in this dangerous combination, we ultimately put other gods and idols before the Lord our God. We worship who we want God to be, this image we have created, rather than truly being in relationship with our great Yahweh. "I am who I am," says the Lord. For being in this relationship in these ways that we are called, we don't get to define God. Rather, it'd be better for us to realize and understand who God is by aligning our hearts with God. Give our hearts to God, not demand that God change his heart or demand that we know what her heart is. For in any healthy relationship, we don't make the person into who we want them to be. We truly see them for who they are, we love them, and we grow with them. As a relationship grows, new things are learned about each other. There are changes and new insights, all with aligning one's heart to this other person. It's the same way with God. We are to come into this relationship with an open heart, being willing to grow in this relationship by putting God first. Being willing to grow and change and learn. Learn perhaps that the heart of God is different than we imagined it to be, that God looks different than we first thought, or even our second and third thoughts. That this great God, Father, Mother, Creator of us all desires not just that our hearts align with the Lord, but that we have rest and that our hearts are turned towards our neighbors as well. As the greatest commandment is summed up by Christ, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Summed up in this way by the one who didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Christ is the law fulfilled, loving God and loving neighbor, giving us this model to follow after, giving us freedom from sin and death, to not be condemned, but to have the opportunity to continually turn back to the Lord our God daily. Like Brother Lawrence, day by day, little by little, living out these commandments, aligning our heart towards the heart of God. Day by day, diving deeper into this full and lush and beautiful, beyond belief, relationship with this Holy One who keeps calling us again and again into this deep relationship. Let us say yes and follow after. Amen.